And at Songsters on Tuesday, Major Les reminded us that Captain Adrian used to tell the story behind those words. So please speak to Major Les if you want to know more about the circumstances in which that song was written. Now, apologies if you've heard this story before, but a couple invited their minister to afternoon tea. They had a good time together, but after the minister had left, the wife was convinced that there was a teaspoon missing. She counted and recounted, but there was one short. Could the minister have really taken one of their teaspoons? Well, she worried herself about it, and eventually they plucked up the courage to talk to the minister, to ask after the missing teaspoon. "Oh no," said the minister, "I don't have it, but I can tell you where it is. I think you'll find it in the Bible on your bookshelf." Shows how often they took it down to read it. If you were taken to court charged with being a Christian, what evidence would be presented to find you guilty of the charge? Is the Bible on your bookshelf well thumbed? The church at Smyrna was finding life difficult, and they were suffering for their faith. The name Smyrna apparently means bitter and is related to the same word, the word myrrh, which we read about one of the gifts brought to the Christ child. And if you know Turkey and the city of Izmir, which is on the Aegean coast, well, that is where Smyrna was. Izmir is modern-day Smyrna, and it's about 35 miles north of what was once Ephesus. Now, Smyrna was a magnificent city. A long-time ally of Rome, it was a city of emperor worship. There was a temple there, a magnificent temple, dedicated to the emperor Tiberius. And anyone who refused to acknowledge Caesar as Lord would be excluded from the tradesmen's guilds, and that would mean unemployment and poverty. That's why the church was poor. The Christians were facing afflictions and abject poverty, but they were refusing to compromise their faith. Smyrna also had a large, thriving Jewish community. Judaism, however, was a religion accepted by Rome, so the Jews were exempt from patronising the imperial cult. But there was no way that the Jews would cooperate with the Christians. In fact, they did not hesitate to incite rumour and hatred against those who claimed Jesus as Messiah and Lord. The authorities were suspicious of the Christian church, so the believers faced opposition both from the local authorities, the Gentiles, and the Jews. And they are being warned that worse is to come. Verse 10, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Some will face imprisonment and even death." And indeed, opposition to the church in Smyrna did continue well into the 2nd century AD. But Christ has not abandoned his church. They have his approval. There's no accusation like we saw at the church at Ephesus. The church called to love because they had lost their first love. The church at Smyrna may not have had the approval of men, but more importantly, they had the praise and approval of God. And Jesus knows of the slander that is being levied at his people. Just as at Smyrna, the struggles of God's people are not against flesh and blood, but against the devil, and the devil will use whatever means he can to get at God's people. And that remains true. In Smyrna, the Jews were willing allies of Satan. But Jewish opposition was nothing new. If you read back through the letters of Paul and through his journeys in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul, once such a fanatical persecutor of the church, was dogged by Jews causing trouble. He faced beatings, he faced imprisonment because of his faith. But despite all that is happening in Smyrna, the hardships, the opposition, the poverty, they are told they are rich. They lived for eternal values that would never change, for riches that could not be taken away. Although impoverished by their adversaries, there is much more to life than material prosperity. Jesus himself in Mark's Gospel, and I believe it's recorded in Matthew and Luke as well, said, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?" The believers may appear to be losers in the eyes of the world, but they are winners in God's eyes. Their reward, the victor's crown of life, which you will find referred to in not only our opening song, but our closing song to come. And General Arnold Brown wrote in one of his songs included in the songbook, "I believe I'll receive a crown of life when I hear the Lord's well done." That was what the faithful Christians at Smyrna were promised. And the fact that the angel begins the message by saying that Jesus Christ is first and last, the one who died and came to life again, even if they suffer and die for their faith, they have the promise of the resurrection with Jesus. But what of us today? Are we called to suffer for our faith? Perhaps not so much in this country. But in recent weeks, in our weekly bulletin, you may have noticed that there was mention of those Christians in our world who are suffering and facing persecution for their faith. Let me read you a couple of them from recent weeks. Prayers were requested for Syria. "Thank God for Pastor Abdallah, an open doors partner who chose to stay in Aleppo during the war. His church is now a centre of hope, providing children's activities, discipleship training, and training courses for adults. Pray that he will continue to be a light shining in the darkness." And then for Morocco, "Pray for Amina, whose husband has divorced her because of her faith in Jesus. Ask the Lord to comfort her and to help her find a job so she can provide for our children." Open Doors UK, which is a Christian organisation that aims to take the word of God into places where it is not approved. At times they've smuggled Bibles into countries where God's word is banned. But they have a world watch list, an annual ranking of the 50 countries where Christians face the most extreme persecution. There are 11 countries listed where the level of persecution is considered the most extreme. You may gather that the UK doesn't appear on the list at all. But those 11 are in order: North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, India, and Syria. Turkey, the modern-day area where Smyrna was, comes in at number 26 on the list, where the level of persecution is described as very high. Peter, writing in his first letter, chapter 4, said this: "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal, even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." And I found this quote from a man named Chun, a North Korean refugee: "Despite all my suffering, I love God with my whole heart. I am so grateful for him." In North Korea, you see, Christians are considered enemies of the state because they believe in a higher authority than the ruling Kim family, who are worshipped as gods. A bit like Smyrna and the emperor worship. It is estimated that in North Korea, between 50 and 70,000 Christians are imprisoned and in terrible labor camps, simply for choosing to follow Christ. And yet the church in North Korea is steadily growing. Brother Andrew, the founder of Open Doors, says, "Our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray." In our world today, it costs some a great deal to be a dedicated Christian. And as end time pressures increase, persecution will also increase, and God's people need to be ready. The world may call us poor Christians, but in God's sight, we are rich. The church at Smyrna was the church called to suffer, yet it was the crowned church, promised the crown of life if they stayed faithful and followed the Lord even unto death. We're going to turn to Psalm 649 in the songbook, 649, again the words on the screen. Words that are perhaps very easy to read, to sing, but think of them in the instance of those who are suffering for their faith. How would we react? If crosses come, if it should cost me dearly to be the servant of my servant Lord, if darkness falls around the path of duty, and men despise the Saviour I've adored, what will be our response? Can we sing, "I'll not turn back, whatever it may cost? I'm called to live, to love, and save the lost"? Take notice of the words as you sing them, and make your response. Will you turn back if hardship comes your way? Or do you need to come and claim God's presence afresh, that he will give you the strength to endure whatever you have to suffer? Let's sing the three verses through. Thank you.